Okay, so please do settle your body. Get comfortable. And do clear your breath energy with a nice deep sigh. Or with those even, balanced breaths through your nostrils. And as you do that, take the breath as a focal point to settle your mind and to center your awareness in your breathing body. Okay, so you gradually, a breath at a time, rein your distracted mind in. Gather your energy and awareness from the world, from your busyness, from your worries. And gather your awareness from sort of being far flung out in the universe, back into this space, back into your breathing body. And bring that energy and mind to rest on the breath, so that you're giving your mind nothing to do but just tune in. And as you tune into the breathing body, sort of take some of the gathered energy and awareness and share it with whatever part of you may be fatigued or numb. Try and give it a little sort of wake-up call to join in this reflection on equality and equalizing our lives. Of course, first we need to get into our most centered relationship with our body. As we sort of continue to settle a breath at a time and uplift a breath at a time, as we move to a space of greater clarity and calm, we want to share that with our whole body by tuning into the subtle breath and breathing into our body of light, our breath body. So imagine that the breath is not just the air, but the pulse of fresh life, the oxygen that fills every tissue and cell. And try to let your awareness ride that and wake up every tissue and cell, so that your whole breathing body is like a person-shaped bubble of breath and light. And you can sort of tune out the solid flesh and bones, the bodily fluids, the bodily heat, and the coarse breath gases, and instead tune into the sort of subtler life energy, the neural energy that directly supports awareness and sort of feel your body of light, your lighter, clearer mental body or meditative body as a person-shaped bubble, ready to learn and change. And especially as you center yourself in that body of light, try to sort of let go of the thick skin of numbing, and sort of break out of the shell of defensiveness. Feel that there's a sensitive skin or membrane where you can make contact with the world, where you can be aware of being part of something bigger. And in particular, you know, feel that your bubble of breath and awareness is part of, you know, it's floating in a pool. It's part of a bigger picture, along with other breath bubbles, like waves in a sea or bubbles in a pool, all giving and taking breath and awareness. We're all part of a much bigger picture of life. And our lives really depend on the giving and taking, the constant flow in and out, so that when we tune into that simple rhythm, we're not just getting centered in ourselves, but we're also getting connected or aligned in our worlds. And as you sort of feel more connected to your body of awareness, your body of light, and you feel that body as a real medium that connects you into the world around you, the space of pure energy and awareness that we all share, that we all float in together. Just be sure that you also center your, balance your sensitivity. You also center your awareness so that you're not getting carried away on the seesaw of pleasure or pain, distress or excitement. And do breathe whatever energies you need, the sort of soothing, clarifying awareness into the areas of distress so that you can face them and be with them. Breathe that sober, clarifying energy and awareness into the areas of excitement so that you can savor them and also let them flow, let them pass or be. And also breathe clarifying energy and awareness into the gray areas of numbness or the nuanced shades of feeling in between. Okay, so centering in your breathing body, in your body of light, balancing in your sensitivity. You feel that body of light is not just light, but sensitive, it feels. And remind yourself of the pure stream of mind that's supported by those layers of your life, the centered body and the balanced feel. Get into the flow of your pure mind, remembering to dive beneath the surface of content of the normal thoughts and perceptions and emotions that make up the buzzing, blooming confusion of our lives. Just go to the source of them. Try and drink in that source or float in that source. Go to the space, the inner space that's deep within us before we make up the story or the movie of our lives. That space of creativity and learning. And from there, open your mind to back up again to the surface content. So tune in or engage your all-inclusive or all-embracing mindfulness to be aware of the storyline of your thoughts, the images that make up the action of your memories, fantasies, perceptions in the here and now, and also to the mood music to the emotions that color and tone your experience. So tune into that and be aware that, you know, that story, the movie of your life that you're living, isn't, you know, all isolated and alone. Even though you may be reflecting on your own right now, you'll find your mental life is filled with people. Most of our lives, as we've become more and more socialized and civilized, acculturated to the complicated life we've made together, most of our lives has to do with other people. So let's, in this equalizing meditation, we're going to be mindful of that part of our lives that has to do with our interactions with those around us. Just as our bodies live through giving and taking raw materials from the natural world, and our sensory lives live through experiencing contacts with pleasant or unpleasant events or parts of the world outside, our mental lives exist, you know, and flow through the giving and taking we do with others. And if you look at the, you know, be mindful of the pattern of your mental life, you'll find, you know, that normally it's sort of organized in a somewhat myopic way, with the people that are near and dear, sort of closest in your mind, up front in your mind, at least most of the time. The neutral people that are strangers to you or just acquaintances, the people, you know, the billions in the world are sort of somehow vaguely out there, maybe at times suspect or at times just unknown, unfamiliar. And then there's also this other group of people that make you uncomfortable, that rub you the wrong way or make you feel frightened or threatened, the difficult people. And as you sort of try to survey this whole scope of your social life, you'll find that there are opportunities for stress in each area. And that's because, you know, this whole network of relationships that we think of as our social lives, the way we network our lives, is often tied into the network of stress and trauma. It's often sort of organized or crystallized around our stress trauma modes of engagement. So one of those modes, fear-based clinging and attachment, is often running or mucking up our relationships with our near and dear loved ones. Another, the mode of confusion or delusion, is often running our relationships or interactions with the neutral people, the strangers, acquaintances, or the unknowns in the world. And finally, of course, the aversive mode, engaging people as enemies, as threats, as, you know, as opponents in the world. That's our anger-based, aversive mode of engagement. So when our lives are organized in this reactive way, we often sort of bounce, in every interaction, we bounce from one kind of distress to another. So bringing mindfulness to this predicament, we can begin to try to equalize and clarify and this network and give it space to shift into something more equal, more balanced, more effective. So we do this by starting to first imagine a loved one, okay? And we sort of think of someone who's not complicated, somebody who just simply brings up a very nice, simple feeling of warmth. We just want them to be happy. We look at them and we feel happy. It can be a pet, it can be a plant, but, you know, some living being that naturally brings a feeling, a happiness, and a wish for happiness. And be mindful, sort of just first breathe that in and see how refreshing and nice that is in your mind. What a salutary, what a healing effect it has, and how much more connected you feel when you're breathing in the presence of positive love and kindness. But also reflect that, you know, there are complexities. And, you know, if your loved one is distressed and maybe irritable, you may feel hurt. If they're in danger, you may feel anxious and clingy and overprotective. If they're sort of getting carried away by some pleasure or gain or praise, you may feel slighted, left out, competitive. If they're just sort of bounced around and distracted by the currents of life, the roller coaster ride, and you just feel you can't connect with them, you may feel, you know, lonely. And you're sort of removed, rebuffed. So even with our loved ones, there's all these areas of distress that are all really different flavors of our clinging, of our fear-based attachment. And it's that tangled web of fear and clinging that constricts our ability to love and the joy we get out of loving relationships. So in this moment, sort of try to make a mindful effort to resist that tendency. You know, when you find yourself, you know, getting attached to having your loved one love you back or be around or whatever, instead of trying to control and giving in to that clingy impulse, do just get back to the pure positive feeling of wishing them well. Feel again how much more pleasant that is. And that's something you can always give them, even though you may not be able to protect them or hold on to them forever. You can always wish them well and then therefore have a positive connection. If they're in pain, remind yourself not to take it personally, but rather to think, you know, about their experience and to wish that they be freed of that pain, that they be relieved. And that care or compassion can allow you to connect with them and stay connected in a positive way through whatever distress they're feeling or living. As for the, you know, they're getting carried away with something good, can try to not take it personally, but rather remember that you do wish them well, and maybe you can vicariously enjoy that positive experience and not feel less than or shut out. So the joy there, or enjoyment, or congratulations, or is a way to stay connected through, you know, windfalls and gains, the distractions. Finally, in terms of your feeling shut out or hurt or left out of their distracted life, of their confused and, you know, distracted life, try to make a mental note to wish them the peace that they can stay present and not get carried away by the ups and downs, by the gains and losses, the praise and blame, the worldly winds. You know, wish them that peace. And as you wish them that stable, lasting peace, you can connect with them there. You can feel it yourself. Okay, so that's the way to sort of protect your loving connection from the poisons that might poison, constrict, sour it. Now you can ask all the loved ones or close ones to gather behind them. Everyone, you know, imagine it's like this big party. And try and share the love and spread that compassion and joy and peace to all the people that you consider near and dear. And feel the abundance, the sort of the expansion of the feeling of good connection, of positive connectedness, as you breathe and give and take that feeling of positive, sort of unshaking positive connection to them. And now take those loved ones and mentally move them behind you, where they can sort of back you up, watch your back, be there. And move on to the neutral person. Now someone neutral that may perhaps you know, you an acquaintance you see in the street, the bus driver or whatever, but don't really know much about. Someone you could easily ignore or have fantasies or make assumptions about. So consider that this neutral person and all the people like them are so important to your life, that we increasingly live in this extended net of interconnection and interdependence. Think what your life would be like if, you know, that person didn't show up and all the people like him didn't show up. You know, of how everything that you have and most of the things you do in your life depend on other people making things, other people being there and doing things, doing their part. And realize, you know, that these people really do matter, that this neutral person and their happiness is really important, even if it's just in that moment in your day when you interact with them and they're unhappy or they're not well or they're, you know, edgy or irritable. You know, you feel that. And how do you react? How do you skillfully process and respond so that, you know, you can stay balanced in your mindfulness and positivity? So first of all, begin by really stretching your empathy from the loved and cared for group to this neutral person, and realize that just like you and your loved ones, this person, you know, just wants to be happy and doesn't want to suffer. Sort of pray to the same laws of life, the impermanence, the change, vulnerable to illness and death, right? So there's so much you have in common. And also, like you, this person has loved ones. And, you know, you are perhaps just another neutral person to him or her. So with all of that, try and make a mental effort to pay attention, to bring your full mindful awareness to this neutral person, and to want them to be happy, knowing that their happiness would add to your world and would no way detract. If they're suffering, don't take it personally, but rather wish them well. Send them care and compassion. Stay connected. If they have something, a gain or something that distracts them, again, don't react in a small way. Don't let it make you small. But be large and congratulate and vicariously enjoy a great opportunity for positive experience is enjoying the gains of others, their victories. And finally, of course, if they're buffeted around by the ups and downs of life, again, don't react. Don't take it personally. Wish them peace. Wish them that equilibrium, that stability that allows them to stay present and connected. And you'll be able to stay present and connected with them, even if they're out there. And now take all the neutral people behind them, the billions of people in this country and throughout the whole planet. And again, try and share those feelings of acceptance, empathy, love, care, joy, peace. Sort of adopt them and invite them into your family. And realize that unless you do, and until you do, you're going to feel, you know, all alone in the world. And you'll leave a space where your frightened mind might sort of imagine the worst and feel sort of very alone and even threatened by these people you know so little about. So unless you make the mental effort to befriend them and adopt them into your extended human family, your world will be much smaller and you'll be much less ready and able to respond well and skillfully in your interactions or, you know, sort of in relation to the larger world out there. Whereas if you do adopt them, instead of having just a few friends, you'll have billions and you'll be part of a whole human family, feel so much more connected, and actually really be able to show up for the life you really have, the life we all have, in which we all depend on one another. So with that, ask the neutral people to sort of move them mentally to your sides. So if you like the men to your right, the women to your left. And now try to take on the difficult person. And again, not the most difficult person, but just someone who's a little irritating, like a difficult relative or neighbor. And just once again, start by observing how naturally, in the presence of that person, your first reaction is to feel a little sour or a little threatened or fearful. How unpleasant that is as a state of mind. So make a mental effort to not get dragged into that, not have that knee-jerk negative response. And, you know, do that by beginning to really, you know, thoughtfully engage this difficult person. You know, realize that just like the neutral person and your loved one, they're just a human being just like you who just wants to be happy and not suffer. Like you, they have to face, you know, all of the laws of nature and the vulnerability of life. And, you know, like you, they get sour and negative sometimes. So if they're getting sour and negative at you, don't take it personally. Try to have empathy and reflect, oh yeah, I understand. So try to sort of, you know, also reflect that the idea that life shouldn't involve difficulty, that people shouldn't disagree with you, they shouldn't be upset with you, they shouldn't, you know, be averse to you, is just so childish. Like that we're all so different, we have such different perspectives and needs, we're different at every moment. Of course, some of the time, even our loved ones become, seem like enemies, or certainly neutral people suddenly become very scary. And so, you know, we have to have a way to engage the difficult people or the difficult interactions, otherwise we'll always be caught short and we'll always feel more threatened and unprepared. So do make this mental note in the face of difficult interactions to start by trying to tolerate the presence of the difficulty of the person. You know, don't confuse the person for the difficulty. However difficult the interaction is, remember the other person is still a person. Try to connect with the person. Tolerate the difficulty. And remember, again, that if that person were happy, maybe they wouldn't be so difficult. Maybe things would work out so much better and your life would be better. So wish them happiness. If they're in pain, again, wish them freedom from that pain, relief from that pain. Maybe that would solve the difficulty. If they, you know, are sort of feeling envious or, you know, sort of driven to push toward gains or victories, let them have their victory or share. Again, that might disarm the situation, and certainly would be a better place for you to be in than to join the, you know, the envy game. Finally, if they're sort of caught distracted on the roller coaster of ups and downs, gains and losses, and they're sort of mindlessly buffeted in life and not really present, wish them the stability to be present. Wish them peace and realize then again, you might be able to really work it out with them. Also, finally, you can think this group of people has a special place and brings a special missing ingredient to your life because they're in a position to give you the critical feedback or the other take, the other side of things that your loved ones might not see and the neutral people might not have any reason to. So through the difficult people, we can often learn as much or more about ourselves than we can anywhere else. So there's a special role for the difficult interactions as teachers. So take the other difficult people and put them behind the mildly difficult one you envisioned. Try to share the tolerance, the acceptance, the human kindness and decency, care, the sort of basic care, the sense of, you know, fair play and gratitude or willingness to give them their victories, and the wish for deep and lasting peace. Share those and realize how much better tools they are to help you face those difficult interactions. So let's now sort of open and review and look back at all of the people we've arrayed around us, all the people in our social world, in our life world, and realize that if we can be in the very best place in our interactions with each of these people, in our loving connection to the close, in our empathic connection to the neutral, in our accepting connection to the difficult, we're really going to protect our minds from being caught, you know, off guard and, you know, slipping into a mindless, knee-jerk negativity, sort of being sucked into the poisons and tangled up in the web of poisonous feelings. So by breathing in the whole presence of all these living beings and trying to feel a sense of where I'm connected to you all, we're all connected, we're all one family, though not all equally near and dear, not all equally easy, but nonetheless, we're all one family. And as you sort of breathe in and share that feeling, try and feel everybody's relief, everybody's sigh, that feeling how much better it is to feel all connected rather than all alienated and, you know, afraid and alone. So as you breathe that out, imagine the wave of validation and gratitude coming back from all of those beings throughout the earth, back toward you into your heart. And then imagine all the beings going back to their home place, wherever that might be. And your loved one before you, the initial, you know, near and dear one you envisioned, imagine him or her sending a duplicate that comes into your crown and throat and heart, sort of melts into your heart and is always there as a touch point of love to help you get back into your loving heart and your capacity to engage with others proactively rather than reactively, and sort of value that loved one as right next to your breath, as your part of your emotional lifeline that keeps you tied into the right tool or mindset you need to engage your social lives. And reflect that, you know, outside of this meditation, when you go into every day, just ask yourself to try to be mindful. Is your interaction being biased or poisoned by one of the afflictions of attachment, of, you know, confusion, of aversion? And if so, can you try to breathe in and calm your mind and disarm that negativity or poison? Try to make a special mental effort to engage positively and that will make even the most difficult interaction go better and allow you to have a really positive social network to live in and breathe in.